Purport and Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. All those princesses were lost in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by His eternal potency. It's a very short purport, so we can go through the purport as well. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, the Lord is described as follows in regard to His innumerable planetary expansions. Advaita Chutam Anadi Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The Lord Govinda, whom I worship, is the original personality of Godhead. He is non-different from His innumerable plenary expansions, who are all infallible, original and unlimited, and who have eternal forms. Although He is primeval, the oldest personality, He is always fresh and young. By His internal potency, the Lord can expand Himself in various personalities of Swayam Prakasha and again into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. All of them are non-different from one another. The forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princesses in different apartments were all slightly different just to match each and every one of them. They are called Vaibhava Vilasa forms of the Lord and are affected by His internal potency, Yoga Maya. So today's class is going to be on Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan, and it's a very interesting topic, because I think in the initial 8 years of His life, the Supreme Personality spent in Vrindavan. Next, around 16 years He spent in Mathura, and around 100 years He spent in Dwarka. So Lord's earthly pastimes, most of them are actually outside of Vrindavan. So this chapter in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam kind of begins with those kind of pastimes, kindly touching upon them. And just to kind of like get the context of the verse we are going to speak today, I thought I'll just go through the previous verses from the third chapter. So the first verse is 3.1. Let me just quickly go through the verse. So the first verse speaks about, therefore Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baldeva, and to please their parents they dragged Kamsa. So it's the first verse in this chapter is speaking about how for the first time the Supreme Personality is actually stepping out of Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan you will see always He is walking barefoot, he's a cowherd boy, He's very simple. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is a cowherd, who is the head of the cowherd men. So you'll see He's like very simple, very humble. In Vrindavan, whenever He had to actually face a demon, He never actually took a weapon in His hand. He was always only using His hands. If you see any pastimes where He had actually gone and killed a demon, He had either used His hands, or He would actually, for the Bakasura, He had actually used His hands to pierce the beak. Agasura, He expanded Himself to kill the demon. So in Vrindavan, He never actually took a weapon, because He is very simple, just like a cowherd boy. But the first text is saying the first time He goes out of Vrindavan, and then slowly you will start seeing how the opulence starts coming in. It said that the first time when He entered Mathura, he kills that elephant, he breaks the tusk of the elephant, and with the, you can see the blood still dripping in the tusk, both Balram and Krishna, they're actually entering inside Kamsa's palace. And some of the people who were actually assembled in the assembly hall, they were all kind of like very surprised, and also some of them were really offended also, you know, because who are these two boys? They are just entering here with a tusk in their hand and the blood still dripping. They have no etiquettes. They have no, you can say, no manners. So some of them were really, you can say, even criticizing Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, because you can see like just as He steps out of Vrindavan, the opulence, you know, the prakasha, or you can say the vaibhava kind of starts coming in His pastimes. And the second verse, that second text is saying, the Lord learned all the Vedas with different branches simply by hearing once from his teacher. So just by hearing once from Sandipuni Muni, both Lord Balram and Lord Shri Krishna, they could learn all the Vedas together. The third verse speaks about attracted by the beauty and fortune of Rukmini, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, many great princes and kings assembled. So the third verse is speaking about how Rukmini ji was getting married. And it's quite an interesting verse, because if you read this chapter, you will see Srila Prabhupada writes that how just like a lion comes and takes a share, and all the jackals are just kind of like howling from the side. Similarly, Lord Shri Krishna actually comes, he kidnaps or takes Rukmini ji, because Rukmini ji was very attracted to Lord Shri Krishna. Because Rukmini ji was always hearing about Lord's pastimes, Lord's beauty. So in her mind, she started thinking like, I'm going to get married to this personality. And she wrote a letter, and the Lord comes and takes her, or you can say kidnaps her, to get married. And it's a very interesting verse, because you'll see like how when the Lord comes and just grabs Rukmini ji, all the other princes who were assembled, they were all surprised, and they were all astonished, like, what's happening? Oh, where is Rukmini? Oh, she's already gone. Oh, the coward boy took her, you know. What were you doing? Oh, I was just looking here, I was looking there, and there was like a total chaos in the assembly hall. So Srila Prabhupada writes that how just like a lion comes and just takes his share from a meal, and all the jackals are kind of surprising and howling here and there. So similarly, the Lord just comes and grabs Rukmini ji from the assembly hall. Then the fourth text speaks about how subduing seven bulls whose noses were not pierced, the Lord achieved the hand of Princess Nagnajiti. And the seventh verse just speaks about just to please his dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijata tree from heaven, and just as one ordinary husband will do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wife's henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him. So it's also a very important, interesting verse, because we often make this comparison between the material world and the spiritual world. Lord Indra is always, you can say, praying to Lord Shri Krishna. He's always requesting that please come to this material world or to the heavenly planets, and the Lord will always come and actually help fight the demons. And yet, you can say, you know, just because the Lord went to his garden and just took a Parijata flower, he got really, really angry. So it just this verse kind of just shows the difference in mentality of, we can say, material nature and spiritual nature. Because even though the Lord had done so much favor to Lord Indra, but just because he took a tree from his garden, Indra was really offended, and Indra actually went to actually fight. So it's said that in the material world, no matter how much we do for other people will not remember, you know, because we always have to come and kind of like keep giving. But you can say the personality or the nature of the Supreme Personality is such that you just do like a tiny bit of favor to him and he will always remember. So in this regard, there's a very interesting story of King Muchukunda. So King Muchukunda was this, you can say, king, who a saintly personality, a Raja Rishi, who used to actually help the demigods fight in heaven, you know. And then when Muchukunda's all the services were finished, he was given the opportunity to actually take rest in a cave. And this pastime happens that Kali Yavana, who was a demon, who was chasing Lord Shri Krishna, and just Lord Shri Krishna enters into this cave, and Kali Yavana, who was this demon, who is kind of like looking at where is the Supreme Personality, and he saw this man sleeping there, so he goes and kicks him, and King Muchukunda kind of wakes up, and he's just looking all around, and he sees this demon, and he just, you can say, burn the demon into ashes. And then the Supreme Personality comes, and the king sees that this is the original personality. And in this verse was very, very interesting, because Mushkunda had been King Mushkunda had been sleeping for so many years, and yet when this conversation is happening between King Mushkunda and Lord Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna is saying that actually you were worshipping me many lifetimes ago, and that's why I've come here to give my mercy to you. So just because King Mushkunda had you can say performed bhakti in many lifetimes ago, the Lord just still remembered it, and he came back and he actually delivered King Mushkunda. So the verse I'm trying to say here is like, even if you do like a tiny bit of favor to Lord Shri Krishna, he will always remember. And even we have multiple pastimes in Bhagavatam where the Lord actually comes and gives the favor back to the devotee who just did like a tiny service for him. So very interesting verse. And this kind of like comes, takes us back to our original verse, which is, all those princesses were lost in different apartments, and Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching with each and every princess. So this verse kind of speaks about how the Lord is taking different forms, you know. So I was just thinking about this verse, and some, you can say, some points came to my mind. The purport also speaks about Advaita Achyutam, Anadi, Anantarupam, Anadi. So let's take the example of Lord's taking forms. So first, you can say the first word defines Lord as Anadi. Anybody can say like, what does Anadi mean? Exactly. One has?
No end.
No end, yes. Any other answers? Yes, exactly. Exactly. So an adi. So adi means beginning, and an adi means one who has no beginning. So this is a very you can say interesting aspect of the Lord's personality, because when we say anadi, there was nothing before him and there'll be nothing after him. And we can understand this concept by the discussion we had in the Bhagavad Gita. So just in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Imam Vishvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivashwan Manave Praha Manu Ishvaku Abharuvit. So I gave this knowledge, you know, I gave this knowledge to Vishwasan, and who gave it to Ishvaku. So Lord is saying this, he was telling this transcendental knowledge to all the rishis, and this knowledge was passing through disciplic succession. And then he says, Ivam parampara praptam imam rajasarshu. And this knowledge was just going through disciplic succession. And when the Supreme Personality is speaking about like how I gave this knowledge to Vishwas, and so Arjuna is asking like, aparamo bhavato janma param janma vivashvataha. That I, as far as I can remember, the sun god Vishwas, and he's very old, much older than you. But you and me, we are kind of the similar age. We are friends, you know. How can I understand that actually you give this knowledge to somebody who is much, you can say, millennium of years older than you? And in response of that, the Lord will say, Bahuni me vyatitani. Like many lifetimes, you know, I have come, Janmani tava Arjuna. You also, Arjuna, have taken many lifetimes. I also have taken many births and many lifetimes. Tani ham Veda Sarvani. Like, I can remember all of them. I am able to remember each and every birth which I took in my life. Na tvam Veta Parantapa. But you don't remember. You don't remember. And then, as if Arjuna is asking that, okay, you take forms, but why? But why? And then the Lord will say, he will say, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there's a decline in religious practices and adharma rises, I come to reestablish those religious principles. And as if Arjuna is asking that, how do you do this? So he says, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya duskritam. So I protect the saintly personalities, and and the people who are harassing or who are destroying the religious principles, I go and punish them. So you can see like how the Lord is coming anadi, you know, without any beginning. He is coming again and again to establish religious principles. And when thinking about the different expansions or different forms, another, you can say, aspect of this this tattva is expansion as super soul, right? So the Lord not only is anadi, He is not coming millennium after millennium, but He is also as expansion. He is in the heart of each and each living entity. There's a very interesting verse from the first chapter, ninth chapter, 42 verse, where Lord Bhishma is actually saying, Pratidrisham iva naikardham ekam samadhigato asmi vidhuta veda moha. So, just like, let's say an example of the sun, and if you have many, many pots on the ground, the sun's reflection is actually getting reflected in each and every pot which is kept on the ground. So just as if the reflection of the sun comes and is reflected in each and every utensil on the ground, similarly, the Lord's expansion is within each and every one of us, is within each and every living entity in His heart as super soul. So that's also one of the forms. But this particular verse today we are speaking is actually speaking about the expansion aspect. So in expansion aspect, He's actually expanding Himself. And when I say expansion, is the expansion of His personal form. And this purport kind of briefly touches upon this fact that He says, by His eternal potency of the Lord can expand Himself in various personalities of Swayam Prakasha and again into Prabhava and Vaibhava form. So the personal, you can say the personal aspect or the personal form of the Lord can be divided into two parts. One is called Swayam Rupa and the other form is called Swayam Prakasha. And the first aspect, Swayam Rupa, is only manifested in Vrindavan. We often hear about this example, like how a magistrate in a court or a Supreme Court judge, when he is at home, he is a loving father, he is a loving husband, who is very with his family members. He doesn't have any opulences, any show of power or any vaibhava coming out, because he will easily empty out the bins, he will clean the house, he will hoover the place, he will clean utensils, because with his family members, he's very, very personal. But the same, you can say, Supreme Court judge, when he steps out of the house, he goes to the court, you can see that then he is wearing his attire as a supreme, you can say, the court, for the, you can say, the judge, magistrate. He has his, you know, personalities, his subordinates who is actually helping him perform his job. So you can see, just as he steps out of his house, the opulence and the power and the prestige kind of comes in. Similarly, when the personal, you can say, the personal form of the Lord is expanded as Swayam Rupa, which is in Vrindavan, where He is just a simple cowherd boy. Very simple, herding cows, you can say stealing butter from the gopis' house, playing in Yamuna, just doing all this very, you can say, beautiful, loving pastimes, very, very personal pastimes with his close associates. And the other form is called Swayam Prakasha. And this is the form when he is stepping out of Vrindavan. And he has this, you can say, this pastime of when he is actually a prince, a Kshatriya prince. And he is killing demons. He is actually, you can say, most of the Mahabharata, you can see that he is actually like an envoy or like an ambassador. He will go to the Kuru dynasty palace. He will speak to them. He will give, instructions to King Yudhishthira that we should do this, we should do that. So you can just see that how one personality who is in Vrindavan, who is very loving, who is herding the cows, who is stealing, but just like a very ordinary village boy, stepping out of Vrindavan, is sitting in the assembly of great kings, and he is actually giving Vimarshan is like different thoughts and like discussions and even like planning for the future. He's giving ideas to King Yudhishthira that how we should rule the kingdom properly, how we should expand, we should do the Rajasuya Yajna. Sometimes this you can say difference in the Lord's aspect when he is in Vrindavan and out of Vrindavan can really, really confuse people. In India, there are sometimes people who will say that actually the Lord who is in Vrindavan is actually very, very different to the personality who is in Mathura or in Dwarka. Can you imagine somebody who spoke the Bhagavad Gita can actually go and steal butter, can actually steal clothes of the gopis? So sometimes there's a very, very big, you can say, misconception or confusion that how can somebody who is actually speaking the Bhagavad Gita and who is actually giving advice to King Yudhishthira on how to rule his kingdom is the same personality who is actually even stealing butter and herding cows in Vrindavan. So this is, as I said, like this is a aspect of the Supreme Personality which we can never understand because that's his pastime. And both this Swayam Rupa, his pastime in Vrindavan, and Swayam Prakasha, his pastime out of Vrindavan, can again be divided into two forms called Prabhava Rupa and Vaibhava Rupa. So, not going into too much of, you can say, mathematical, expansions and stuff, but just to like very, very, in summary, we can say Vaibhava Rupa, we can say the, in Vrindavan, when he's expanding, he has all his six opulences. But in Dwarka, when he is stepping as his prince, marrying different queens in Dwarka, or showing his four-armed form to Deviki, these are all his Vaibhava Prakasha forms. And this is not the first time when somebody has expanded, right? There has been multiple instances in the Bhagavatam where one personality can actually expand. Do you guys have any example, like how any pastimes in Bhagavatam where actually the Lord was expanding, or you can say different personalities were expanding more than once? Any thoughts? Yeah.
Him marrying 16,100 wives.
Yeah.
So Krishna expanded in 16,100 forms, and even his parents and relatives. So there were 16,100 Devaki, 16,100 Vasudevas.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful answer, Prabhu. Any other? Yeah. So the Supreme Personality expanded there. Any examples where somebody, not the Supreme Personality, but somebody else expanded more than once?
Kardamuni.
Exactly. Kardamuni. Very good. So he expanded. Wonderful. Who else? Sobharimuni. So Sobharimuni, when he married the princess, he also expanded himself. And it's very, very astonishing because Narad Muni is, you'll later on read in the Bhagavatam that Narad Muni actually goes to Dwarka. And Narad Muni, the great, you can say, transcendental sage, who has been traveling all over the universe, who has, you can say, you know, association with the demons and the great rishis and everybody, he's actually very used to seeing personality expanding himself, you know. He knows that munis and rishis and great sages with their potency can actually expand. But still, when Narad Muni actually goes to Dwarka, he was very, very surprised to see the Lord was actually in different compartments or different, you can say each of that compartment was like a palace, like a small town itself. Each of the 16,108 princesses had their own palaces. And as Narad Muni was actually going and visiting each of the palaces, so Lord Shri Krishna will actually welcome him, you know, he's a Brahmana, Narad Muni is a Brahmana, so when a Brahmana enters his house, the etiquette is that we should wash his feet and, you know, take that water and just sprinkle on our head. So the Supreme Personality was also doing it, like when Narad Muni actually entered his house, he will wash his feet, he will put the drops in his head, and then he will make him seated on a nice cushion, and then he will fan him, he will ask about his well-being, he will offer him something to eat, something to drink. So and they will have this discussion, and then Narad Muni gets up, శ్రీ శ్రీ రథోపనందకి, సీతారాం లక్ష్మణ హనుమాన్కి, కరుణతాయికి. So in one of the palaces, you can say Narad Muni is being well welcomed. His feet is getting washed. So Narad Muni will have something. Then he gets up. He goes to a different palace. And he was very, very astonished to see that when he enters a different palace, Shri Krishna is doing something different. You know, he is playing dice with his family members. He is, you can say, doing performing puja, he is doing meditation. And as he sees Narad Muni, he gets up and he is asking Narad Muni, "Oh, when did you arrive? When did you arrive? You know, I didn't know that you are coming." And this was very, very astonishing or surprising for Lord Narada, because Narad Muni just had a grand welcome in one of the different palaces, right? In the previous palace where he was visiting, he had been welcomed, he had been offered all the eatables and to drink and everything like that. And as Narad Muni is actually entering a different palace, Lord Shri Krishna kind of gets up and he's asking, "Oh, when did you arrive? Let me wash your feet, you know? Let me welcome you." And Narad Muni is just thinking on his head like, "Actually, I just had a grand welcome in the previous palace, and now the Supreme Personality is saying that, actually, oh, I didn't know you are coming. Let me welcome you, you know." And then Narad Muni will go to a different palace and he will see that he's just doing different things. He's just as a you can say householder following dharma, because in the Bhagavad Gita the Supreme Personality says that I establish this principle and I follow them to give an example for common folk or common people to follow, you know. So when Narad Muni is going to different palaces, he's seeing that just a householder who is trying to follow a dharmic principle, or you can say a religious life, Lord is performing all those different pastimes. In one of the palaces he's actually meditating, in one of the palaces he's actually spending time with kids, in one of the palaces he's actually planning for the future, you can say getting a marriage proposal for his sons and daughters. So you'll just see, and he was very, very astonished. And you'll see that this expansion has happened multiple times, right? In the Rasa dance also, the Lord is expanding himself. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, as Prabhuji said, he is expanding himself. And the most, you can say, interesting fact about this expansion, I when I was reading this chapter, was each of these cowherd boys, because the Lord was expanding into all the different cowherd boys, Madhu Mangal or a different cowherd boy. And each of these cowherd boy, they had their own personality. For example, Madhu Mangal, he likes to eat. He's a chubby Brahmin boy, so he likes to eat. He likes to joke around. He likes to, you know, have it like a, you can say, jovial time. And Sridham, he's like, you can say, a personality who goes to the gym, he's into exercise, into wrestling. So you can see these two cowherd boys, there's like so much difference between their personalities, right? Like one is this chubby, happy-go-lucky kind of a personality who likes to, you know, sit around, eat and have wonderful discussions. And then the other person is kind of strict and he's into fitness and exercise and wrestling. And when the Supreme Personality is actually expanding into Madhav Mangal, not only he is actually expanding externally, where he is looking like Madhav Mangal, but also eternally, consciously. Just like how Madhav Mangal has, you can say, his love or craving for sweets. So when Sri Krishna is expanding as Madhav Mangal, he also has that craving. And when he is expanding as Sridham, he is into like wrestling and he is into kind of like, you know, keeping healthy. So you can see, not only does he looks very similar on the outside, but eternally, consciously also, the Lord expands. And in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, we also have the example that not only he expanded himself as the cowherd boys and the, you can say, calves, but also the horns, the sticks. So you'll just see like how, as Paramatma, as the, you can say, you know, atom in each and every, you can say, ingredient or material, he's able to expand himself into all different instruments or the horns and the beaks and everything which the cowherd boys were carrying. So similarly, you will see like here also, as he's stepping into the different apartments or different, you can say, palaces for different princes, different queens in Dwarka, he's also expanding. And he's expanding in such a way that he is catering to the needs of that particular queen, you know. For example, one queen likes to, you can say, spend time with the Supreme Personality. So the Lord kind of like speaks to her nicely, you know, just like how a husband and wife will speak to each other in a very nice, loving manner. So the Lord is actually speaking in that way. If one of the queens likes to listen to music, the Lord actually takes a musical instrument and is actually playing the music for her. If one of the queen likes to go, you can say, sightseeing or, you know, going out, you can say, visiting places. So the Lord actually accompanies that queen to go and see different places. So you'll just see that how, because each and every queen in Dwarka has a different personality, has a different mood and has a different taste, the Lord will also expand in such a manner just to cater the needs of those, of that queen. Very, very interesting, like how one's personality can just expand himself in multiple forms. And I think the final qualification, when it comes to understanding the qualification, or you can say the qualification to understand this expansion, it can only happen through the mercy of the Lord. You have this famous verse in the prayers by Queen Kunti, where she is kind of saying, you know, just because you have bestowed your mercy upon me, I am able to understand you. Similarly, Narad Muni, after he was visiting Dwarka, he's saying, just because you gave your blessings, you bestowed your mercy, I'm able to understand your different expansions. So these expansions are only understood by devotees who have spent time or who have taken care to actually, you know, the Lord has, you can say, bestowed his mercy upon them. And then only we are able to actually understand these different expansions of the Lord. So just to conclude here, I'll just summarize here quickly. So we just spoke about how the Lord is actually has different forms. He is anadi. So here he is one who has no beginning and no end. Then we also spoke about like how the Lord will expand as different super souls. Just like Bhishmadev is giving the example of a sun reflecting different utensils. And then the third point which we discussed in this class was how the Lord is getting expanded, you can say, in his personal form. And in his personal form, he has two rupas, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakasha. All the pastimes in Vrindavan as a simple cowherd boy is part of the Swayam Rupa. And all the pastimes which are outside of Vrindavan as a Kshatriya prince with opulence and power and prestige, they are all part of the Swayam Prakasha form. And even this expansion in Dwarka is actually coming under Swayam Prakasha form, because he is in this attire of a king of Dwarka, who has been married to 16,108 wives, and he is spending time with them, and according to the needs, you can say, and the personalities of each and every individual devotee, he will expand himself. So I'll just end my class here. If devotees have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. I think you just mentioned that when Lord expands in Dwarka, Swayam Prakash, you said, yes? But in the purport, Prabhupada is saying Vaibhav Vilas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This expansion in Dwarka.
Vaibhav Prakash. Yeah. So Swayam Prakasha. Vaibhav, yes.
Vilash.
Exactly. So so just to kind of like go very, very deep here. So the personal form has Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakasha. And both Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakasha goes further classification, you know. So you can just see this as a tree. So let's say the trunk of the tree is the personal form. Then you have two branches, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakasha. So Swayam Rupa is this, in this form in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy, and Swayam Prakasha is all the pastimes outside of Vrindavan. And these two branches kind of distributes into further twigs, right? Or leaves. So Swayam Prakasha is divided further into Prabhava Prakasha and Vaibhava Prakasha. And I think in the purport it says that Vaibhava Prakasha is actually, you can say the form of the Lord in Dwarka, where he is actually married to different queens. So that's Vaibhava Prakasha comes under Swayam Prakasha. So it's like a tree, it's like a classification which is getting further classified. So Swayam Prakasha is further divided into Prabhava Prakasha and Vaibhava Prakasha, and Vaibhava Prakasha comes as his expansion in Dwarka. So that's actually correct, yeah. So in Mathura also he is Vaibhava Prakasha, but Prabhava Prakasha is, for example, his forearm formed when he is, because even outside of Vrindavan, he was in his forearm form, right? He was trying to act as a human, so-called human, but all the devotees could understand that actually he is the Supreme Personality himself. But whenever he was, we can say, showing a form which was not human-like, for example, when he came as his forearm form before Devaki, he was in his Prabhava Prakasha form. In Mahabharata assembly, when Duryodhan tried to arrest Lord Shri Krishna, he showed his universal form. So that's also Prabhava Prakasha. When he's showing his Prabhava, Prabhava is his power or his opulence. So that's the form when he's actually going out, stepping out of his two-armed human-like form is Prabhava Prakasha. And Vaibhava Prakasha is when his two-armed formed, in Dwarka, when he's getting he's married to different queens in Dwarka, that's all part of the Vaibhava Prakasha. I think Taruna Prabhu had a question.
Hare Krishna. Again, very interesting that Krishna, in order to enjoy different rasa, he has to assume that body or that personality, that consciousness. He has to enter into that species. It's very interesting that can he just enjoy himself all this rasa without changing the form? Of course, this is kind of a little bit foolish question, but that means he creates entire material world for his own pleasure to enter here and assume every species to enjoy that rasa. And then that means one jiva cannot be satisfied in one body. He has to change the bodies to experience new things. So it's interesting that he has to assume that body. Very interesting thing. Is that it's a very interesting thing.
Yeah, just to add to this verse, so the Lord is called Sachit Ananda, right? So he's always full of bliss. So he's always in this, you can say, bliss. He's always in full bliss of himself, So when he is expanding himself, it's not, I would not say that he's, he wants to, of course, when it's the case of Srimati Radharani, he wants to understand how it feels to be a devotee. But in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, you will see that mothers of the cowherd boys, they were always wishing that, oh, I wish I could have Krishna as my son. So then the Lord, just to fulfill the desire of all the different, gopis in Vrindavan, he actually, with his own will, he created the whole Brahma Vimohana Leela, where he's actually expanding himself and just to kind of satisfy a desire of the gopi that she wants me to have me as her son. So he's expanding himself as different cowherd boys, and he's actually going. So it has multiple aspects. One aspect definitely is that the Lord wants to see how it feels to be a devotee. And the other aspect is also that Because the devotee has been praying that I wish I could have Krishna as my son. The queens in Dwarka are actually praying that I wish I could have Krishna as my husband, and the Lord will expand himself, that, you know, pleased by the prayers of the devotees, he is expanding himself in different forms and he's actually having those loving pastimes with his devotees.
Thank you. Interesting that like when it comes to different incarnations also, displays the nature of that incarnation in some way, like throw shoes like a lion or digging like a boar, like so that every species is kind of fraction of desires of the Lord. In that sense, it's kind of manifestation of that. Anyways, I cannot even explain, but it's in my head. But
it's a very good point, Prabhu, because even we'll see in the Narasimha Avatara, after he kills Hiranyakashipu, and he's really, really angry, he's roaring, there's like blood all over his head, on his face and his mane. And all the demigods, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, you know, even Lakshmiji, they were all present there. But nobody, because as you said, when he gets into that mood, he totally assumes, you can say, he totally takes over that form of a ferocious lion, you know, and he's just expanding and he's like roaring. The whole universe is just crumbling by his roar. And Lord Brahma he wants to pacify, because normally whenever, you will see in the past times, whenever the Lord appears, all the demigods will go offer prayers, offer garlands, or you can say offer flower to his lotus feet. But when he comes, as Prabhuji said, like when he comes as Lord Narasimha, he is so, so ferocious that no demigod has any courage to actually go near him. Lord Brahma will offer prayers and he will say, actually, you know, can I go and pacify him? Lord Shiva says, no, actually, I'm not sure. Then you will see that Lakshmiji is the wife of the Supreme Personality. She thinks that, okay, I'm the wife. And no matter how angry or how, you can say, you know, difficult a husband is, a wife can always pacify her husband, you know, normally. So you'll see that Lakshmiji will think, oh, actually, he's my husband. In Shira Sagara, we stay together and I serve him. So I can go and pacify him. And as Lakshmiji actually approaches Lord Narasimha, she also gets scared. He doesn't look like my husband. He's this lion who is roaring and who's so angry. So even she kind of steps back, that if he just strikes me with one hand, I'll be, you know, so I don't want to take the risk. So as Prabhuji said, like when he takes that form or that expansion, he just totally immerses himself into that consciousness, or you can say the nature of that personality or that form. And then finally, Lord Brahma will ask Prahlada, and Prahlada will come and he will start offering prayers. And then the Lord first touches his hand upon Prahlada, and Prahlada will start saying prayers, and then this wonderful conversation happens. So as Prabhuji rightly said, like when he is taking that form of Narasimha, he's this ferocious lion, or when he's taking the form of a boar, he's this boar who is digging earth. So yeah, very wonderful point, Prabhu. Definitely. He just completely immerses, and people who know him personally, who are very close to him also, are very, very, personalities are very, very confused that, okay, I know this is Lord Sri Krishna, but is he the same person? Like, so yeah, very, very interesting point, Prabhu, definitely. Okay, if there is no further questions, okay, Prabhuji, yeah.
In the verse, there is this mention of Lord Krishna accepting the hands of these princesses. What is the significance of accepting hand? Like also we hear in the ninth canto, Yayati saves Sarmishta, she's in a well. And then because he grabbed her hand, so that's, then he has to marry her or something like that.
Yeah.
But nowadays, men and women shake hands and, you know, hold hands or whatever like that. So what is this significance of accepting hand? or holding hands?
So,
and how does that transform into marriage?
Yeah. So, as per the Vedic, Vedic understanding, if a man, you can say, holds the hand of a woman, then he's as if he is actually accepting, or you can say taking her as his wife. A similar example is actually offering garland. So if a woman actually goes and offers garland to a man, he is accepting him as her husband. We have this very interesting passage in the Mahabharata where Bhishma Dev, when he goes and kidnaps, you can say, takes those three princes, you know, Ambika, Amba. And because Bhishma Dev had this oath that he will always protect and look after the welfare of the Kuru dynasty. So he was just doing this as a service. Because he had taken this vow that I will always remain Brahmacharya, I will never marry, but this Kuru dynasty has to expand, you know. The son has to get family. So he actually goes and brings those three princesses. In his own mind, he just had this mentality that I'm going to get these princesses married to the prince, and maybe the Kuru dynasty can expand further. And before, you can say, they were stepping onto the chariot, the princesses, you know, they were unable to step onto the chariot. So Bhishma Dev actually holds the hand of Amba and places her inside the chariot. And just because he touched the hand, she said, now you have to marry me. Similarly, as Prabhuji said in the pastime of Yayati Maharaj, in that pastime you will see Sharmishta, you will see that she's in the well, is full of water, and she's unable to kind of like climb out of the well. And Yayati Maharaj is going out hunting, and he sees this woman who is, you know, wearing old clothes of Sharmishta, who is just kind of like, you can say, stuck in a well. So as a human being, like, he had no intention, oh, she's a very beautiful princess, actually, maybe I should marry her. No, he had no intention like that. He was just, this poor girl, she is inside a well, you know, maybe I need to rescue her. So just with that mentality, he just held hand and he pulled her out. And just because he held the hand of her, then it was assumed that, okay, now you have to marry. So in Vedic, you can say Vedic philosophy, when a man accepts the hand of a woman, that means that he's accepting her as his wife. And if a woman goes and actually offers garland to a man, she's accepting him as her husband. So, yeah. Okay, if there are no further questions, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.